we are just excited about what God is doing here at Hope Church in St. Louis. And you know what? I want you to know something. As we are worshiping, God just placed this on my heart. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much. Amen. I don't know what you've been dealing with. If you're on the top of the mountain, we celebrate that with you. If everything's going perfect, we celebrate that. And we just want to encourage you, Proverbs 4, that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter, which means God even has something better in store for you. But if you're maybe having the worst week of your life, I want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. And that your Heavenly Father loves you. God loves you so much. You know, sometimes it's just important to someone tell us, Jesus loves you. Something simple can make such a big difference. Because have you ever noticed in pressures and tensions of life, one of the things that storms of life create, it creates a perspective of isolation. Yeah. I'm the only one. Nobody else understands. Nobody else has gone through this. Where's everybody praying for me? And we don't know. There might be people praying. Have you ever prayed for somebody and you never told them? God just placed them on your heart to pray for them? Well, you know, the Bible says what you sow, you shall reap. And I believe when you need prayer, God's got people out there praying for you. Some that know you, some that maybe don't even know you. And so it's a process. And I think it's important for us to know that in challenges, you're not alone. Jesus loves you. We love you. We're standing with you. And everybody said amen to that. We've been doing a series we started last week talking about freedom. Say, I'm free. You know, it's the plan of your Father for you to be free. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, whatever it might be, not to be imprisoned by the limitation that the devil or the world will put on you. Right. We grow up in this system of the world, yeah. But when we get saved, we have to learn to convert over to the system of God. Amen. I like to think of it this way. If you worked at a company for 20 years and then changed over, went to a bigger company, a better company, with better plans, better payroll, come on, somebody. Better benefits. Where before you maybe got one day off, they give you 4 weeks off a year. Come on. I'm speaking someone's life. And you walk in there and you try to excel in that new job, but using the old company's policies and procedures, how they worked, how they did things. You know what happens? You don't do too well. You might be showing up at work. You might be looking around and in a new space. But you're still working with the old tools, the old principles of a different company. And the Bible talks about that we have to learn not to be shaped or conformed, as the King James translation. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? Because we need to move away to the way the world, and sometimes religion. I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ based on the Word of God. Amen? And we got to move away from some stuff that we've learned or been taught and move into a phase of, okay, that's the way I've always seen it, but God, how do you see it? Okay, God, this is the way I've always processed it, but God, how do you process it? If I'm going to excel in God's kingdom, didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God? That means, how does the king do things? If I'm going to excel in the world's, in God's kingdom, I have to figure out how God sees things. I got to see how God wants me to operate. I got to see how God wants me to change my perspective. So if God asks me to do something, I need to do it. Did you hear me? Just like Mary told the servants at the wedding of Cana, whatever he tells you to do, just obey. Say, simply obey. And that's the key in your walk with God, is not trying to figure out everything. But be like David has said, teach me to do your will. Show me the current thing. Some of us we're trying to figure out 20 steps ahead. And praise God if God shows you 20 steps ahead. But sometimes he just says, follow me, which means what's the next step that's in front of you? And as you walk out the process, it's amazing how even if you don't see light at the end of the tunnel, if you focus on the light from heaven, by the time you get through the journey, you'll look back and say, wait a minute, look how far I've come. And look where he's brought me. And now it makes sense. Say, now it makes sense. Have you ever trusted in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, which means it doesn't always make sense? But when you acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. And one day you wake up. Now, some people, they just, nope, this is the way I've always done it. This is the way I've always seen it. And 20 years down the road, they're still dealing with the same mountain, same problem, same hiccup, same hang-up, same habit, same angry attitude. Come on, somebody, not you. I'm talking to the person next to you right now, so you're fine. And sometimes we just get all caught up in that stuff instead of saying, Lord, if there's a better way, open my heart. Show me. Because I don't want to be stuck where I've been. I want to be freed to where God's called me to become. Freedom is just not freedom from something. Well, I don't need freedom. I don't have any addiction. Wait, it's just not freedom from something. It's freedom to something. It's just not freedom from an addiction, from a demonic torment, from some hang-up or habit. It's freedom to something. He brings us out of the kingdom of darkness into. I'm bringing you, Israel, out of slavery, but I'm bringing you just not away from it. If it was just about getting free from something, we would stay outside the camp. If it was just being free from slavery, then God said, okay, I got you away from there. Now let's just sit there, and for the rest of our lives, we'll camp out here outside of where you were in prison. And every morning you could get up and see the sunrise as it glistens over where you used to be, what you were addicted to, where you were bound from. I hear in my spirit so clearly that the Lord wants you to know he just doesn't set you free from, he wants you to move into what he's called you to become, what he's called you to do, what he's called you to have. And if you live your life and everything stays the same, well, I got the same routine, same surrounding. Sometimes you got to come out of that stuff. He told Abram, I want you to separate yourself from some people that you call family. I'm not saying you got to run from your family, but I'm saying if your family's holding you back, there's some stuff you got to let go to get out of it so you can come into what God wants you to have. We can't keep doing everything we've always done and expect God to do something he's never done in our life, because we're expecting something new and we keep doing and living on the old. He didn't say, Israel, I'm taking you out of slavery and now we're going to camp out and show you so you can always see where you've been. He said, no, I want you to begin to take your eyes off of where you've been. You don't need to see the idols of the past. You don't need to see the slavery of the past. You don't need to focus on where you got beat and where you were starved and where you were overworked of the past. No, I don't want you to be living your life looking where you used to live. I want you to begin to look to the residence of where I'm providing. Hallelujah. Say, God has a place. God has a space set apart just for me. David said, you have prepared. He didn't say he's going to prepare. He's at the grocery store getting the stuff to prepare. He says, you have prepared for me a table. That's a table of provision. He's prepared a place, a table of provision for you, even when you still got giants and enemies all around you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, I got a place from heaven. I'm telling you. And when you understand that God's got something set aside just for you. Mm. Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you. It's to do you good. Doesn't the Bible say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither enter the heart of man the things that God... Talk to me, church. Don't mess with me all the... That God has... prepared, that God has prepared for those who love him. But he reveals them to us by his Spirit. When God sets you free from something, don't stay outside the camp of the something. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. And that word indeed, look it up. Challenge everything I say with the word of God. Some scriptures will throw on the screen. Some scriptures will just give you reference. Some I'll just say in passing. Why? I want you to challenge it. I want you to dig deep. You see, why haven't you thrown up a scripture on the screen? Because we haven't got to the notes yet. We're still just trying to warn. Whom the Son has set. It's going to be a good day when you know you're 10 minutes in. You haven't got to the notes yet.
Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The word indeed basically means, if you break it down in the original text, as if the trap that held you back is not only broken and open so you get free from it, but God destroys it. So are you listening to me? So that it will never, ever be used against you again in the name of Jesus. I decree over your life that every weapon formed against you will no longer prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, you condemn it, for this is your right, your heritage is, your righteousness is of God. Everything in your past that used to imprison you, I decree broken, never to be used against you. Are you listening to me? And no fear. No fear, because the devil will use fear. You can't stay out of there. You got to come back. I know, eventually I get you. No, just smile and say, nope. Indeed. What do you mean, indeed? Indeed. Go look it up, devil. He quotes scripture. He needs to look it up. Indeed. What do you mean, indeed? Get his attention a little bit. You're not scared of him. Indeed. What's indeed mean? It means that when Jesus set me free, you can't go back. Amen. Unless I choose to go back. Yes. Did you hear me? But the devil keeps telling me I'm not going to make it. Well, good. You ought to celebrate that. Why would I celebrate that? Because Jesus said that the devil is the father of all lies. There's no truth in him. So that means the opposite of true is the devil's telling you you're going, he's taking you out. You ought to rise up and say, woo, thank you for another confirmation. I had the word, but now I have even the enemy telling. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I'm free. Shout, I'm free. I don't care if you feel free. I don't care if it looks like you're free. In the midst of the darkness, you got to stand calmly and say, I see the light of the truth of God, and begin to proclaim. Didn't the Bible say, let those who are weak say, I am strong. Come on, stay with me. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Now, we started last week talking about how do we step into that freedom. Because it's one thing to say I'm free. It's another thing to celebrate freedom. We can sing about freedom, but not just on Sunday. How do we live it on Monday? Not only how do we become free, but how do we stay in the freedom?
Right.
Last week we talked about whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the truth shall set you free. What is the truth? That's the word of God.
Amen.
If we're sitting in bondage, we need to look around to what we allow in our lives. Because the truth of God's word has the ability, has the effect to produce freedom. If there's not freedom in a specific area of your life, then check onto what you are holding on to. Because if you are bringing truth into your heart, Matthew 13, if you're bringing truth into your life, Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, if you bring truth in your life on an ongoing basis, you know what it does? It, by the natural byproduct of truth is freedom.
Amen.
That means you might not see freedom the first time you spend time in the Word of God in that area, but you keep spending time in that Word.
Yeah.
It's a process. Say, it's a process.
Right.
See, you didn't get bound overnight.
Right.
You didn't do a sin and next thing find yourself addicted to it. No. You started doing a sin. The devil works in inches. You started to do a sin, and you kept doing a sin, and then you found yourself bound to it.
Right.
The Bible says the wages of sin is what?
Death.
That wage means payment. It's like a job. If you started working and maybe you get that first day, what's the one question? When do we get paid? Oh, we get paid on the 1st and 15th. What's the second? You got to wait 14 days. So the first day you work, you don't get paid. The second day you work, you don't get paid. The third day you work, you don't get paid. But once the more you work, eventually payday's coming. Well, that only happens with sin. That happens in righteousness. Complete opposite. And as you saturate yourself with the word of God, the truth of God, freedom, the byproduct of truth is freedom. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
But we can't just stay there. We got to keep growing in the word of God. We got to keep moving forward. And to keep our freedom, we not only need the truth of God's word, we need the precious Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. And over the next few minutes, I pray that the word of God would just manifest in such a powerful way that every person under the sound of my voice would not only experience freedom for themselves, that as they walk out of this place, that they'll begin to be elevated, escalated to another level of living, that freedom will become a norm for them so that they not only can experience it, but that they can share it, distribute it to those they come in contact with. And we give you praise. And everybody said,
Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go right into the Word of God. You say, what have we been doing now? I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, let me take a minute. Just stop here. Look up here real quick. Are you listening? The teaching on the Holy Spirit is one of those things that has got such levels of extremes. And one of the things we teach around here is we don't go to extremes. We stay down the middle of the truth of God's Word. Okay? Challenge everything I say with the Word of God. Put stuff on the back burner if you're not too sure about it. Challenge it. Let the Lord walk you out. There's different levels in every truth. Jesus even told the disciples one day, there's so much stuff I want to tell you, but you're not ready for it. Yeah. Some stuff we're not ready yet. Some stuff we got to grow into. But that's okay. We're going to stay in the middle of the road. Man. One extreme, people have made the Holy Spirit spooky and weird, and we've just been watching way too many Hollywood movies that have distorted the context of the Holy Spirit. Right. Some people over here go to the other extreme, and it's all this confusion. Because if you've been in the church world, one of the biggest key questions in the church world amongst believers is it a Trinity? Is God a Trinity, a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Or is it all in Jesus, what they call oneness? I have friends on all sides of the argument. The only problem is I think the interesting thing is we'll talk about knowing the Holy Spirit and we'll get in strife and division with each other. And a byproduct, the fruit, the result of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the first thing is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit, what is love? Joy, are you with me?
Yeah.
There's more than one, but the first one is what?
Love.
So we got to learn to be able to communicate ideas, all being open to grow. All of us need to keep learning and growing. All of us need to keep learning and growing.
Yeah.
But never get to the place that I know and I'm going to prove them wrong. Well, right there, you're not in love. Right there, the Bible says to avoid those type of arguments because they only gender strife.
Right.
And the Bible tells us where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work.
Yep.
So how would I allow myself to get into strife about something, about the Bible, about God, who's supposed to be emphasizing love? Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about the Holy Spirit. That's kind of... Hang in there. You might just got saved and don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is so important.
Yes.
Now, let me give you my opinion. Okay? And if I ever give you my opinion, I'll preface my opinion. You ready for my opinion?
Yeah.
Is God one with three expressions, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or is he three different, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You say, he can't be. He's got to be one or the other, says who?
Right.
See, the problem, that in my opinion, the problem is that we try to define and explain God, who has so many levels and so many, I like to say, dimensions. See, we operate in length, width, time, length, width, height, and time. We have four dimensions. Our world is operating in four dimensions. Have you ever heard my story about Mr. and Mrs. Flat? It's like if there was a universe, if we were all just two-dimensional, length and width, no height, and we lived in this world, and you were God, and you could be right 1 inch above them, but they would never see you because they're only width and length, no height. That's why they're Mr. and Mrs. Flat. And you could be God, and you're in this height dimension. You have the ability to not only go left and forward and back, you can go up and down. You have height, a dimension of height. And so you could be right there and they would never know that you're there, but you're always there. You see everything. And one day you decide, I want to interact in that person's life. And you put your finger down just to let them know, I love you, I'm here. And all of a sudden, Mr. and Mrs. Flat and all their families and friends, they get out their books and their notes and they begin to analyze that fingerprint of what you just put down. And they've got you figured out. And yet really, there's so many dimensions. Do you know you can see through Scripture that God doesn't operate in four dimensions? There's like 10 to 15 different dimensions that God operates in. The Bible is the only spiritual book of any religion
that defines God or deity in terms that we have to take by faith, that we can't wrap our mind around. You say, oh, I don't agree. Well, let me ask you, does God have a beginning? Can you wrap your mind around that?
Oh, yeah, he never had a beginning.
Think about that a little bit longer. No beginning, no end. God, does God know everything? Think about that. The ability to know not only what you say and do, but the thoughts that you think simultaneously for everybody at one time without being distracted. What am I saying? That the Bible talks about God in terms that we have to receive by faith. Because you can't understand him by logic. Because it's just way beyond. So we get in arguments about logically defining God in Trinity or singularity. And there's scriptures on both sides. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And yet Jesus said, if you blaspheme against me, you can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness in this life and the life to come.
Right.
Separation. And that's just a few I'm throwing out. There's so many. Revelation talks about that after all the enemies of God have been subjected under Jesus and he becomes the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he will then turn to the Father and submit himself to the Father, that the Father may be all in all. Separation. And yet Jesus said to the disciples, if you've seen me, how long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Singularity. It's happening simultaneously. I don't understand. My mind don't. I know. It's awesome, but there is no conflict. There is no tension. There is no competition amongst himself.
Right.
Let us make man in our own image.
Yes.
See, the Holy Spirit didn't show up in Acts 2. For Jesus said, it's important, it's imperative that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Father will not send the Comforter.
Right.
Separation. But the Holy Spirit didn't show up in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit has always been there because he's also God.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't show up at the birth, at his birth, because John 1 tells us in the beginning, in the timeless past, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that later in that chapter, and everything that was created, all things that were created by him and for him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. We look at time in a line. God looks at time in the context of eternity. He says the end is equal as he does the beginning. I can't understand. I know, that's so awesome. If you study, when you get to heaven, if you could stand there and examine God for a million years, you'll still come up with something new. He's that amazing. He's that wonderful. He's so good that when they approached Jesus, said, good master, how do I inherit eternal life in the gospels? He said, wait a minute, don't call me good. There's none good but one, and that's the Father. And so God gives us illustrations, metaphors, ideas, so we can begin to understand more about the person of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said it was important, it's imperative that I leave so that he'll be with you. The Holy Spirit is so important that Jesus didn't start his ministry when he could talk. He didn't start his ministry when he could walk. He didn't start his ministry when he understood who he was, because even as a boy, and they said, where have you been? We've lost you for 2 days. And they found him in the temple talking to the attorneys, and he was answering and asking questions that was blowing their mind. And he said, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? But his ministry didn't start until the Holy Spirit came upon him.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. I like to think of it this way. And you might disagree or agree, and at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus to go to heaven. Amen?
Right.
But we see out of Genesis 1:2, where it talks about how the Spirit of the Lord moved, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters of the deep, all the way at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, latter part, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters of the deep. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. That word in the Hebrew, for those of you who like to go into the original text, that word in the Hebrew literally is Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. In the Hebrew, what the word Ruach actually means, it means not only spirit, it means breath. The breath of God. And the breath of God moved upon the waters, and God said, Let there be light. In the New Testament, that the word for spirit is pneuma, which also means not only spirit, but breath. And Jesus said to him, receive the Holy Spirit, and breathed on him. Jesus said that those who are born of the Spirit, it's like the Holy Spirit's like a wind. You don't know where it comes or where it goes. So are everyone who's born of the Spirit. Why? Because it's the breath of God. The reason you are alive and you breathe is God breathed the breath of life into Adam, into humanity. And life comes from the breath of God. You might not know him. You might hate him. But at the end of the day, without him, you would die. The breath of God. I like to think of it this way. If I stood up here before you and I had something on my heart to say, I need to first of all have the word, but without the breath, I could not speak.
Right?
For me to communicate, to share my heart, I need not only the breath to release it, but the word to be said.
Amen.
Jesus is the word. The Holy Spirit is the breath. And the Spirit of the Lord, the Ruach Elohim, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, I'm telling you, it's one thing just to say stuff, and your words have value. Did you hear me? Your words have power. You might not understand it, but words have a power.
Right.
Positive and negatively. That's why the Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper in every tongue or every word that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn, for this is your right, your heritage, your righteousness is of me.
Amen.
Because words do make a difference. I remember growing up, what was the old phrase? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Whoever wrote that? I mean, who was beating them with a stick and a stone? I don't know. But words will never hurt me. You better learn to cancel the assignment of words.
Amen.
Amen. That might sound strange to you, but I'm telling you, if someone speaks over my life and I sense that there's a spiritual connection, I'll just say, curse that in the name of Jesus. I've had people that don't even know God. I'm not trying to impress them. I'm canceling what they are trying to speak over my life. But you know, you win some, you lose some. Curse that in the name of Jesus. But maybe God just putting cancer on you to get some glory. Curse that in the name of Jesus. You got to be able to take authority and cancel the assignment of words that have been sent. Isaiah 55, verse 11 is all about, as God's word goes forth, it will not return void. But I love it. The power of your word, the power of God's word is strengthened within the environment of God's presence.
Amen.
Let me say it again. The power of God, his word is strengthened in the place of God's presence. In the environment of God's presence. And the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters of the deep. And God said, a lot of times there's good people that are just saying stuff. Some of them maybe just even if they quote the Bible. And they have it up here, but there's no revelation down here. And there's a big gap between here and here in your world. Because even God said, you worship me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. God looks to the heart. He told Samuel, don't look on the outside. I look on the inside, the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What am I saying? It's more than just saying something. It's getting into the environment of God's presence, the Holy Spirit. And learning to recognize that you are not alone, that God sent his Holy Spirit to be. And this is not all only about praying in tongues, the spiritual prayer language. That has gone to the extreme where everybody, it's all, and I believe in praying in tongues. I believe it's a powerful prayer language. I believe it opens up accessing your walk with God. But some people will preach that if you can't pray in tongues, you're not going to heaven. Let me help you out. That's not true. The blood of Jesus is well capable of getting you to heaven. Amen. But the truth be told, and we've lost this, we think that it's an accolade, it is a trophy. Oh, I can pray in tongues and I've reached it. No, you're just starting. That's the key, the doorway into a whole nother walk with God.
Amen.
You said, that don't make sense. That should put it on the back burner. Give it the process of time and let God show you. Because there is things, it's amazing how we can get so caught up in the world system that when we start thinking about the God system, it's in conflict, it's contrary. Well, I really don't believe this. Do you believe when you get to heaven you're going to see God? Oh, yeah. Do you believe God is real? Oh, yeah. So if he showed up right now and moved upon your heart, the Holy Spirit is more than a song, more than a goosebump, more than a tear, more than a shout, more than a dance, more than an emotion. I encourage you, even before you read your Bible, you got to take a moment and say, Holy Spirit, open the word to me. Because if you read Acts, just go, don't take my word for it. Read Acts. See how they talked in Acts. Well, that was this, the Bible times. It wasn't the Bible times of them. It was their time.
Yeah.
Right? Bible time. No, it's their time. And Jesus said, stay here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. The Holy Spirit came upon them. What was he doing? He was bringing power. He was bringing peace. Are you listening? You can't even love God. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The presence of God in your life, that's what we teach you. It's not, don't worry, don't get so caught up that you spiritualize methods. If it's worship, if it's reading the Bible, if it's prayer, if it's, those are all good things, but some of us worship at the altar of these things, and we think we have achieved something by doing them like a discipline, but the purpose of it is an avenue, a doorway to get to the presence of God. It's like if I walked out and said, you know what, I'm on my way to Kansas City, I'm going to go to preach there at a friend's church, and you're like, wonderful, have a great time, and 2 hours later, you come back, and I'm sitting in my car. Still in the parking lot, music on, Chick-fil-A meals to eat on the way. Come on, somebody. Thank you. You're welcome. You're like, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm going to Kansas City. Pastor, you're not going anywhere. Sure I am. I'm in my car. I got my favorite music. I got my favorite food. I'm going to Kansas City. No, you have everything to get there, but you're not going anywhere. I think we got one of the best worship teams in the country. And I'll tell you, this morning's worship was powerful, was anointed. Are you listening? You're like, well, they didn't sing my favorite song. They didn't do that just right. Hey, no one's perfect. When you find a perfect church, don't join because you'll mess it all up. But you know what? You can be in the midst of a powerful praise and worship. You can lift your hands. You can clap. You can sing to the words, and your heart's not moved any closer. Because we get into the presence of God with a heart's desire. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So when you read the word, when you pray, if you just got saved, let me help you out. When you start reading the Bible, don't read Genesis. Don't begin at the beginning. Start in the Gospel of John. Because if you start at Genesis, by the time you get to the begats, come on, church, you'll be gone. You'll just give up, quit. We've all done it. We've been there. I'm going to read the whole Bible in 1 year. By the time you get to the begats, yeah, I'll find something else. Got to be something good on TV right now. Where is all that on-demand channels I had? Why hasn't my DVR been recording anything? No, start in the Gospel of John, read, and wait for something to become alive to you, and just stay there. Because the goal is for you to experience God.
Amen.
Through his word, through worship,
yeah.
Through a church service. Experience his presence. Was it the presence of Jesus or the presence of God or the presence of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Singularity, separation. Jesus said, in that day you'll not ask me anything, but whatsoever you ask the Father in my name.
Yes.
Separation, singularity, simultaneously. It doesn't make sense, but it's real. Okay, last verse. Are you hanging in there? You doing okay?
Yeah.
All right, let me give you the last verse. And I'm going to read out the Amplified translation because I love this. It gives so much. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Just two verses. Jesus is talking. And he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. Say another. Now, what you got to understand is in the context of another, it means, ready for this? Another. That's really what it means right there. Another. One like the one you have. Jesus is preparing them for his physical absence, but preparing them to focus on what they're going to receive, the presence of God. Another comforter. One just like me that you see in the natural, but I'm going to go to the cross. I got some stuff to take care of. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that Jesus at the right hand of the Father is a high priest, great high priest, ever to make intercession for you and I. But I'm going to ask the Father to send you another comforter, paraclete if you're in New Testament Greek. Amplified brings it out this way, another comforter. Say, what's a comforter? Comforter, that's a good start. Not an abuser, not a tormentor. I've just seen you've been dealing with some stuff in life, but you seem like you are calm. And thank you, Jesus, for the comforter. Yeah. Notice also here, counselor, say counselor. Counselor. Helper, say helper. Come on, say helper.
Helper.
Here's another, intercessor.
Intercessor.
Advocate.
Advocate.
Strengthener.
Strengthener.
And standby.
Standby.
That he may remain with you forever.
Amen.
Now verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth. Wait a minute. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. Jesus is the word, John 1.
Yes.
Singularity or separation? Yes. The Spirit of truth, because it's more than just information that you need. Folks, there's some of us, we got our heads crammed with facts and information about the Bible, but no heart revelation.
Right. Yeah.
You can quote, the Lord is my shepherd. It's like the old story where two people got up. The first one got up and was just poetic, was artistic, was articulate. And got up and quoted, the Lord is my shepherd. Amazing. Everybody was impressed. And then an old grandpa got up and began to say, with broken English, the Lord is my shepherd. And everybody was moved. And someone said, what was the difference? And they said, the first one knew the sound. The other one knew the shepherd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As a pastor, I would love for you to know more and more of the word. That's so important. But even what's more important is for you to know the shepherd.
Amen.
And I'm not diminishing the other, because the grace and all that experience comes out of that knowledge and the revelation of pursuing him. But the priority is not just to be able to quote facts and entertain and impress.
Yeah.
It's to know him, that I might know you.
Yeah.
The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, they cannot welcome them, cannot take it to their heart, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. This sounds all kind of strange to me. I don't know, you're talking about things. No, don't get weird. And if it doesn't make sense, just put it on the back burner.
Yeah.
But you know and recognize him, and he lives with you constantly and will be in you. If the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken, make alive your physical body. There's verse after verse that talks about the partnership of the Holy Spirit in your walk with God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Be filled, Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wine and sexes, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It does not mean be weird. You know, the Bible says we're peculiar people. No, peculiar means set apart, not weird. It doesn't mean you have to squint your eyes. It doesn't mean you have to talk different. It doesn't mean that you have to, every person you see, grab them and give them a paper track and tell them that they're going to die in the next 30 seconds. Where are you going to spend eternity?
Right.
Come on, right? We got to get real. Because God is real.
Amen.
You don't have to flip the weird switch. I had a guy working in my house one day. Got out of the church. Good guy. He was doing some construction. And all of a sudden, some suppliers came to drop off stuff. And he went to talking normal. And he just kind of put on what I call the crazy hat. Well, bless God, brothers. They don't even know him from Adam. You all go to church anywhere? We're Christians. We go to church. Where do you go? Do you know Jesus? And went into a whole weird act. Well, shouldn't we evangelize? Shouldn't we witness? Yeah, but if you have to be something you're not, to talk about someone who, that's why a lot of people in the world are turned off at the church, turned off at God, because they've seen so many people fake it and not be real and put on some weird stuff. And honestly, it's just a growing thing.
because we got to feel like I need to do this, so we start acting different. No, be yourself.
Right.
And in who you are, as you are growing and walking this thing out by your faith, Romans tells us, you begin to see the reality of who he is, because the Holy Spirit is real.
Amen.
He can reveal the word. He can comfort you. He can strengthen you.
Yeah.
He's the one to help you. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, one translation says, where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord, there's liberty.
Amen.
There's freedom.
Amen.
There's freedom.
Yeah.
Say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
I'm free today.
Free today.
Amen.
Amen.